Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace. From God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this has been kind of a crazy week with blizzards and tornadoes and flooding and a government shutdown. And sometimes you just have to turn off the news and listen to the voice of God that says, "Be still and know that I am God." I'm not going to preach on blizzards or floods or tornadoes or even the government shutdown today. Maybe you're grateful for that. It's October, and many of you know that the month of October is a month that tends to turn a pastor's heart toward stewardship. But what is it that pops into your head first when someone in the church says the word stewardship? A reflex action born in my childhood, which I still have today, is to instantly think, oh, the topic's money. But I'm sure I don't need to tell you that stewardship is lots of things besides money. I like to approach stewardship by having us think about all the things we have and ask two questions. The first, where did this come from? You may think about those things in the next few weeks as you think about how you will respond as a steward of all God's gifts. Begin already to ask the question of everything. Who gave the gift? The second question, of course, then is, how do I say thank you? With that said, though, you may be pleased to hear that for today anyway, I'm not going to talk about stewardship of our treasures, at least not of money or things or natural resources or even time, talents, and abilities. Today, rather, I want to explore a different type of stewardship altogether. It's a stewardship of something created by God that we can't hold in our hands, that we can't possess, but something each of us has. And that would be relationships. Relationships are not often something we've been trained to think of in terms of stewardship. One reason might be because relationships are something we can't quantify. We can't put them in a bank and save them for a rainy day, or withdraw them on a whim. We can't keep them in our pocket to use as we wish or record them in a ledger. And yet the people who surround our lives are definitely a gift from God. And if a gift, then we are called to care for them and nurture them and use them to the glory of God. In biblical language, we are called to be good stewards of the gift. And of course, like all of God's many gifts, there are some gifts which seem to be more of a blessing than others. And there are some times when we feel more appreciative of the gift than others, and there are some times when we are more aware that the gift is from God. But that awareness, the awareness that the gift is from God, is the beginning of stewardship. Our second lesson this morning is a beautiful expression of one who is a relational steward. Paul's writing to his beloved Timothy, and the letter begins, "I am grateful to God when I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night." Grateful to God and constant in prayer. Grateful to God and constant in prayer. Those are two powerful clues pointing toward a good steward of relationships. In this letter, letter, the writer shows also to be supportive and encouraging, frankly and honest, and most importantly, points to the grace of God as the great source of security in his life. A couple examples of this kind of gratitude are shown maybe when a couple gets married or has a baby. They send out announcements. They gather their friends. They tell the world how important this new relationship is to them. Grateful to God and constant in prayer. I have to admit, by this model, I find myself often less than a good steward myself. And as I study it, I'm struck not so much by my guilt at my omissions, which are many, as I am struck by the blessings which have come when I have come even remotely close to this model of relational stewardship. You see, I find myself more blessed when I am in daily prayer for people. There are not a lot of people that are daily in my prayers. You all are on a kind of a rotation so that I can pray for you and pray for your needs, but I don't pray for you all by name daily. And yet, when we bring each other to God in prayer, our relationship is blessed. Now, relational stewardship is something we can practice nearly anywhere. Being reminded that perfection is not possible, but even small efforts are rewarded. Practice, they say, makes perfect. I don't know how many of you noticed last Sunday that there was a guest here who was sitting with our son. And this guest, his name is Tom. And he was a friend of ours in West Bend. And we ran in some of the same circles. And he's a very caring man, very spiritual man, very unique man. He's up there in his years. And you may have noticed he uses a walker to get around. And he gets around very slowly. He's post-polio. But that doesn't stop him from anything. Every once in a while, he just likes to travel. He's on a very limited budget. He stays with friends. So it just so happened last Saturday morning, it's about 10 in the morning, I got this phone call. And it's Tom. Now, we're not real, real close. Like, we talk to each other a couple times a year. But Tom says, "Hi, I was just staying with some friends in Burlington, and I wonder if you have some time to show me your church." I love Tom. Tom is not on a schedule. It was 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I had a wedding in the afternoon. I wanted to get a haircut, and I still hadn't finished Sunday's sermon. And I don't know about you, but I have this little underlying engine kind of in my spirit that says, "I don't think I can, don't think I can, don't think I can." And so I said, "Tom, come on over, we'd love to see you." And so we brought Tom over and showed him the church. And he was just so enthralled and so happy. And Betty was practicing. He said, "Betty, do you have some Bach?" Tom is not shy either. "I'd like to hear some Bach." And so Betty ran over to the office and got some Bach. We had a little Bach organ concert. And we had lunch together. And then I had to take my leave and say goodbye to Tom. And Vince had a little extra time, so Tom said, "Vince, can you drive me around Galesburg a little bit?" Sure. His sermon wasn't done either, but it's all right. And I asked Vince to write down his experience with Tom last Saturday so that neither one of us would forget it. So this is what he writes. He says, "We left lunch and headed around Galesburg. Tom wanted to get a tour of the town. We randomly drove from east to west and north to south and wherever. As we drove through Knox College, the national anthem was playing as the football game was getting ready to begin. The visiting team was running late, and so they were just crossing the road as the national anthem was playing. Tom waved and smiled, rolled down the window, and told him to go get him with enthusiasm. He then prayed out loud for a safe game. As he rolled up the window, he commented on the reactions we got. Some of the players just kind of shook their heads in puzzlement, and some nodded, some said thanks. As we drove on Main Street through the downtown, Tom commented on how full the downtown was. Through his eyes, he saw very few empty storefronts. Very different than what I see. Over near Cottage Hospital, there's a yellow ribbon in front of a house with a serviceman's name and deployment status. Tom asked that we stop for a second. And he said a prayer for that person's safety. He enjoyed the drive by Carl Sandberg's house and maybe go by it a second time so he could read the sign. As we were turning near it, he commented on the gun shop on the corner, right across from the rescue mission. He lamented the fact that it was called Tom's Guns. He wanted a mint chocolate chip ice cream cone, so we went off to Lim's. As we left there, we headed down Rosie Street, and there was a young man, African American, probably 17 or 18. Tom noticed him right away and saw the distress in the young man. And Tom prayed that this young man would be comforted and find peace. Back at First Lutheran, we said goodbye for the day. I went on to write my sermon. Tom decided to head over to Geneseo to see David play with the Marching Streaks. He loved drum corps and knew that David would be there. Thought David might like someone to cheer him on. That's relational stewardship. I don't know that I will ever be spiritually mature enough to be like Tom, but I sure have someone to aspire to be like. And of course, we do so because we have in front of us the one who is the model of relational stewardship. Do you know how very much you are already loved? Loved by the God who believes you to be a priceless child, a uniquely created, loving, feeling person created in the very image of God. Have you felt and really understood this love in your heart lately? This is our model for relational stewardship. Our God is the God who created us with hearts large enough to be stewards of all that we have, because it came from God first. Our God is the God who has given us his Son to truly love us, to care for us, to the extent that he, in effect, stepped in the path of a moving train that would have killed us in taking up his own cross. Are we grateful to God and constant in prayer for one another? Probably not as well as we could be. But we know the model. Our God is the God who gives us his Son in order that we might know what it is to be forgiven, to be accepted, to be loved unconditionally, so that in order, in His name, we might be a forgiving, giving, and unconditionally loving people, grateful to God, and constant in prayer. Amen.